Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from the last portion of our gospel lesson today, Matthew 21. Then they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King and the Passover Lamb, dear fellow redeemed, there were literally thousands of visitors in Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday in 33 AD. Why? Because it was the beginning of the most holy season for the Jews. This Sunday was the day the Passover lamb for celebrating the Passover was selected. The lamb that would then be slaughtered a few days later for the sins of the people. So that's why everyone was there on this Palm Sunday. Thousands and thousands there for the selection of the lamb and the upcoming Passover. However, instead of this day back then being about the selection of a lamb, it also turned out to be an unexpected and somewhat wild celebration and parade for a king, Jesus. His fame had spread like wildfire, and either you hated him or you loved him. And whether you hated him or loved him, what could not be denied was his amazing power that was coming in the form of hundreds of miracles. And what also could not be denied was somehow or another he was proclaiming himself to be that coming king, the coming Messiah, and even the Son of God. And thousands bought into it. They believed it. The problem for the Jews was that soon after this day, they began to be confused whether he was the coming king. So here's an illustration to help explain this. Let's suppose a new professional boxer comes on the scene and he's really good. He wins every match, his first fight, his second, his third, his fourth, and all of them within three rounds, and all of them by knockouts. He is so good, and the wins continue. His fifth, his tenth, his 15th, his 20th. His opponents can't even lay a blow on him. Nobody comes close. And they're all knocked out cold within three rounds. And everybody knows this. The number of his followers increases. For sure, this amazing boxer has his enemies, but his supporters and his admirers grow and grow. He's loved, he's honored, he's praised by thousands. And then comes the 21st fight for the championship. And you have a ringside seat. The music and the lights get louder and brighter. He is announced. He enters the auditorium and starts walking down the aisle with his entourage. And the crowd goes wild with cheering. You're the champ, you're the king. One round is all you'll need. We've seen you in action. So this is what is kind of taking place on Palm Sunday. As Jesus emerges on the road from Bethphage to Jerusalem with his 12 disciples, his entourage, the king is coming. For the crowd knew of Jesus' record, his undisputed miracles. He made food for thousands out of next to nothing. He calmed the storms on the sea. He healed dozens and dozens instantly and completely. He even raised several people from the dead. He had complete power over the demons. They were no match for him. On top of that, no one, not even the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the biblical lawyers, could beat him in a debate. They often ended up looking like fools. So Jesus was undefeated in word and deed. No one had come close to defeating him. So, this crowd on Palm Sunday rightly yells out to him well-deserved words and titles. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King of Israel. Let's go back to the boxer now and his 21st fight. He steps into the ring. The bell sounds, and the fight begins. But this time, he does not throw any punches. He does not even defend himself. And the only time he raises his arms and his gloves is to stretch them out so his opponent can beat on him mercilessly. And before the end of round one, the fight is over. And the one thought to be the champ and the king is out cold. The crowd is flabbergasted. What's going on? We thought you were the champ. We thought you were the king. You're not who we thought you were. And so the very ones who supported this great boxer, who cheered him on, who followed him, who praised him, now turn against him and boo him and mock him. Maundy Thursday, 33 AD, the king, Jesus, steps into the ring. The bell sounds and the fight begins. His enemies approach him in the Garden of Gethsemane and arrest him. But he doesn't put up a fight. He is put on trial before the ruling council and the priests, where he is falsely accused, but he makes no defense. They spit in his face, and he does nothing. He is dragged before Pilate, where he again is falsely accused, choosing to remain silent, except for still claiming to be the king and to be the Son of God. He is tied to a post and scourged with a whip so that he bleeds profusely. He has a crown of thorns pounded into his head. He is beaten. He is taunted. He doesn't even raise his hands to protect himself. But finally, he raises his hands and his arms, but only because he's nailed to a cross. and then he dies. So this champ, the king, loses. He never defended himself, though he could have. He never put up a fight, though he could have, and could have easily won. And so now maybe we can understand the confusion of the Jews. Their king, who shouldn't have lost, went into the ring determined to lose. And he did lose, in one sense. But what those Jews, back on that Palm Sunday in 33 AD, did not understand was this. Not only was this the procession of the king into Jerusalem, but it was also the day the Passover lamb was to be selected. They did not put these two together. For hundreds of years, the Passover lamb was chosen on this very day. An innocent lamb whose blood would be shed and who would silently go to his death. The lamb and the king are one and the same. But there was another thing they did not understand back then. This king did not come to conquer earthly enemies like an oppressive Roman government or the Caesar, but he came to conquer sin, a conquering that could only be accomplished by a lamb. As we read in those familiar passages again from Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So on this Palm Sunday, back then, Jesus was saying, I have come as a king to conquer, to defeat, to destroy your deadliest enemy. One that is a part of you, one that you have sided with, one that you have treasured, one that, even though it will destroy you in the end, you don't want to let go of. Your sin. And the only way I can conquer it is to be the Passover lamb, to shed my blood, to sacrifice my life, to suffer and die because of that sin and for that sin, which is your sin. As the Apostle Peter said, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. We read in John's account of Palm Sunday that after the procession, there is this group of Greeks, and they come up to the disciple Philip and they say, sir, we would like to see Jesus. Apparently, they wanted to be a follower of Jesus. So Philip tells Andrew, and Andrew tells Jesus, and Jesus responds strangely. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And if that's the case, then they have to find Jesus. They have to see Jesus. They have to know Jesus in his death on the cross. That's the way it works for them and for you and me. For there and only there was our enemy conquered. And so we have a king, brothers and sisters, but he's a king who conquered by being conquered. He was the conquering king by becoming the Passover lamb, our Passover lamb. We see our sins as our deadliest enemy. And we fear them, and we hate them. That is what is called repentance. But then also, we see them all on Jesus. That he bled for them. That he died for them. And if we believe that he took them all upon himself as the Lamb of God, then we have faith. And it is that faith alone that saves. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.